Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. And we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, what an event. I mean, we have to start addressing the situation here with Sasha Banks and Naomi because, let's face it, that's the big news coming out of Monday Night Raw. There wasn't anything particularly spectacular that followed. So everyone wants to know what the hell happened. And why did it happen? And we're going to tell you everything we know. Apparently, Raw was supposed to be a six-pack challenge. And from what I'm... This six-pack challenge to decide who was going to face Bianca Belair at Hell in a Cell. And from what I'm told, we were supposed to have Asuka. We were supposed to have Nikki A.S.H. We were supposed to have Doudrop. We were supposed to have Becky Lynch. And Sasha Banks and Naomi. Well, that obviously didn't happen. So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to read you the statement that the WWE issued, and then we'll discuss some things that we know about this incident. And here's the statement that the WWE released. It says, during the broadcast, Sasha Banks and Naomi walked into WWE Head of Talent Relations John Laurinaitis' office with their suitcases in hand, placed their tag team championship belts on his desk, and walked out. They claimed they weren't respected enough as tag team champions, and even though they had 8 hours to rehearse and construct their match, they claimed they were uncomfortable in the ring with two of their opponents, even though they'd had matches with those individuals in the past with no consequences. They also went on to say Raw is a scripted live television show, and they're expected to live up to the terms of their contract, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Wow. So where do we begin? Because when I first heard this on Raw, when Becky Lynch did her "I just ran all the way here" interview, I smelled a rat and I said, this sounds like a work. This sounds like something's up. But when the WWE releases a statement like this, the chances of it being a work is very, 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 very small. So my assumption is this is the truth. My assumption is that Sasha Banks and Naomi walked out of last night's Raw. There's so much to unpack here, it's almost unbelievable. So first, let's get to the basics. Feeling disrespected as the tag team champions, imagine how you might feel if you're chasing the 24/7 belt. Imagine how you might feel if you're Nikki A.S.H. Imagine how you might feel if you're Dana Brooke. Imagine how you might feel if you're Doudrop. So I don't want to hear one damn thing about being disrespected. You were respected enough to be handed those belts. That's number one. You already knew there wasn't a women's tag team division. You already knew that. We were complaining about the same thing on the show. There's no real women's tag team division. But you didn't complain about being handed the tag team belts, did you? Now, if you really felt that way, when you were told you're going to win the tag team championships, you would have said, no, really, I don't want to because I don't see any division here. I don't see any storylines for us here. I think this is a really bad direction for me, and I'd rather not. But you didn't. You said, oh, great, we're the women's tag team champions. We rock, we rule, we're fantastic. And then I guess you expected that the entire WWE writing staff would just do nothing but pile in championship quality tag teams for you because they did that for so many other people. Because they're doing that currently even for Roman Reigns, right? that everything would drop, and they'd say, well, I'm sorry, but Sasha Banks is now the champion, so we have to recruit all kinds of tag teams from all over the world. Didn't feel respected. Here's a newsflash. I have heard all the bloviating I want to hear from workers and fans saying, well, you can't really blame them. You shouldn't really jump to conclusions. No, I can blame them, and I'm not jumping to any conclusions. There is no, let me repeat that, N-O, no justification for walking out of a live show that fans paid to see. Zero. If you have that much animosity in what needs to be done, and you really honestly are fed up, finish the show, quit. But always finish the show. Because there are people in that audience who don't give one damn, and they paid their money to see it. So you think you're disrespected as tag team champions? You just disrespected every single fan that took the time to bring a Sasha and Naomi sign. Every single fan that bought a T-shirt hoping to get a glimpse of you. Every single fan, even if there wasn't too many, and I imagine there wasn't, that paid money to see that match, you disrespected. So I don't want to hear about you being disrespected because you're signing, you're getting a fat six-figure salary paycheck signed to you. But the family who saved up for a month to buy their kids tickets to Raw so they could buy a Sasha Banks or a Naomi T-shirt and bring their sign that they worked on for an hour and a half, they don't count. As far as I'm concerned, they both should be fired on the spot. That's unacceptable behavior, and if you allow it and you enable it, the next person's going to do it. Now, if Sasha Banks and Naomi had done what they were asked to do and then went to Vince McMahon's office and said, look, we're done. We don't like this. We don't want to do it. We're done. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. There's a live audience out there. And your obligation is to them. Of course, you don't see it that way. This is the second time Sasha Banks has done it. If Sasha Banks isn't done, then the WWE can just forget it. And I know everybody's saying, she'll run right to AEW. And she'll be the number one draw. Let her go. If Tony Khan wants somebody who comes in and says, if I don't get everything I want all the time, at all times, I'm going to leave, then let Tony Khan have that kind of a person. See, WWE folks, you can't have it both ways. You have people saying, well, it really is a sport because they're such good athletes. How can you not say it's a sport? Okay, it's a sport. Can you imagine if one of your baseball players comes in and says, how come I'm not starting this game? Oh, we thought we'd give you a day of rest, and I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm walking out. I should be the starter. I'm much better than so-and-so. You'd be fired or traded or something. They're not going to put up with that behavior on a team. But let's say it's a movie. Let's say it's not a sport, because it's not. But let's say it's more like a movie. Can you imagine an actor saying, you know, I've been looking at my role, and I feel like I should rewrite all the lines, and I feel like I should change the costuming of my character, and I feel like I should be more prevalent in the movie, so I'm going to add things. You know what the director would tell you? Hit the road. You sign a contract. The contract says you're going to do as requested. It's a character. You understand it's a character? Nobody's disrespecting you. You're the tag team champions, for God's sake. So we got a little bit of a situation, though, because while Sasha Banks might be easy to let go, and I know there's people saying she's the top. No, she's not. She's not even close to the top draw. Number one, she's not even she's not even in the top five of the best wrestlers they have there, female wrestlers they have there. And anybody who says otherwise simply doesn't know what they're talking about. They're simply looking at it aesthetically, saying they think she's pretty. because the bottom line of the situation is Charlotte Flair's a million times better. Asuka's a million times better. Obviously, Bianca Belair is a million times better. The list goes on and on. But she's the one with the biggest attitude. But Naomi's a problem. And I'll tell you why Naomi's a problem. Because of her connections. You don't want to piss off Jimmy Uso. Because if you piss off Jimmy Uso, you probably pissed off Roman Reigns. And there's going to be a problem. So now you have to play this ridiculous politically correct game. And say, well, if we can't fire Naomi, how do we fire Sasha? It doesn't make any sense that it will be called names. No, here's what you do. You simply say this is Sasha Banks' second time doing this. There is no third strike. You're done. Naomi's on strike one. She does it again. She's out too. I don't care if Jimmy Uso has a crying fit. I don't care if Roman Reigns takes his bowl and goes home. Then we'll hold him to his contract, and that'll be that. It's time you ran this company like a business and not a playground for egotistical, childlike people to say, I'm so important. I get to dictate everything I do. That shit gets old. That's why the damn show's going downhill. Because the inmates are running the asylum half the time. Now, they went on to say, this is the interesting thing, that they were uncomfortable with working with two of the people. Well, who would those two people be? Sure as hell couldn't be Asuka. Do you know anyone who's uncomfortable working with Asuka? I don't know anyone who's uncomfortable working with Asuka. She's shown herself to be nothing but a total professional. Certainly couldn't be Becky Lynch. So by proxy, the two they're talking about that they're uncomfortable with is Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H., who they've worked with how many times? Just last week? Week before that? So they're full of crap. They're absolutely full of crap. It's not why they walked out. Now, Naomi has constantly, over the last couple of years, put up tweets saying, I'm so burned out, I'm so tired. Well, I don't know, man, because right up to, I don't know how long ago, you were hardly even featured. So I don't know how you can be burned out of something you're not doing. Then when they give you a role and tell you, okay, we are going to put you a little more front and center, now I'm burned out again. Now I'm burned out from being used too much. Before I'm burned out from not being used. Now I'm being burned out from being used too much. Yeah, but you're not burned out of cashing that paycheck, right? I'm tired of this crap. What do you think would happen if you're working for a contractor who's painting, and they tell you your job this is to paint the trim, and you say, I don't want to paint the trim. I want to paint the main part of the building. Well, unfortunately, we need you where the trim is, so you're going to paint the trim. No, I won't. You'll be fired. What do you think is going to happen if your boss says, well, you got to go unload this truck full of, frozen vegetables, and you tell him, no, that's okay. I want to go unload the truck filled with mattresses and pillows. No, you're going to do what I say. Why? Why do I have to do what you say? You're being a dictator. No, that's called being a boss. The boss gets to call the shots, you see, because he's the guy who signs the paycheck. I don't know how people think that that's not the way it works. And if you're dissatisfied with what the boss does, then you quit. But that's not what Naomi and Sasha did last night. And even if it was, the timing was wrong. Once again, I don't have any problem with anybody quitting. If you really and truly feel you don't want to be there anymore, go. God bless you. But if you think for 1 minute that it's okay to quit when there are fans out there waiting to see a match that not only was advertised, but like I said, there were I'm sure, kids there to see them. And if you think your disrespect is more important than theirs, you're very wrong. Because Vince McMahon doesn't sign that paycheck out of his back hip pocket, okay? He gets money from the fans. So when you do that, you've disrespected those fans. Hey, in the audience, you'll see a kid with a Sasha Banks sign, the boss. Oh, I'm here to see the boss. Well, the boss walked out because she doesn't give one damn whether you paid money to see her. Because if she did give one damn, she'd say, as much as I hate what you have planned for me tonight, I'm going to do it because there are people out here who paid to see me. When this is over, I'm done. Just to let you know, I'm done. Because if I can't have a little say in my own whatever and you refuse to budge, there's no need for me to work for this company. If that's truly the way you feel, go perform and then quit. But I can tell you this, a performer should never walk out on their audience. Period. End of conversation. No debate. And that's what both of these women did. Mike, I don't know what to tell you. If I was Vince McMahon, they're both gone as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Well, yeah. I'll put it to you this way. Sasha Banks is poison in the locker room. She's poison. All right. I'm willing to give Naomi a break, but not much of one. And frankly, if what Jimmy Uso said was true, and they were actually going to do this thing with her and putting her in the bloodline, then she should have kept her mouth shut. You know, yeah. Go tell them. Okay. Jimmy said this, and I like to do this, but I can't do it. You know, that type of thing. But, you know, Sasha Banks is poison, and they should really get rid of her.
Yeah, look, she's got to go. And as far as Naomi's concerned, there's either more to this, which I'm going to assume there is. My spidey senses are telling me there's more to this than meets the eye, and I'll tell you why. Because every single source that I have seen or heard from has said Naomi was winning that match. Naomi was supposed to be the number one contender. Naomi was supposed to go on to Hell in a Cell to face Bianca Belair, which we had speculated on this show would have been some barn burner of a match. Why would she walk out? Would you walk out if you were told, on tonight's show, you're winning the six-pack challenge over names such as Becky Lynch and Asuka, and you're going to go on to be one of the feature matches of Hell in a Cell. You're going to take on Bianca Belair. Would you put your tag team belt on the counter and say, I'm being disrespected? How is it being disrespected to be told you're basically going to be one of the main events and the number one contender for the women's title at the next premium live event? How's that disrespect? I don't get it. Now, some people are speculating they wanted to break up the tag team. And I guess Sasha Banks and Naomi weren't down with that or something. I don't know if that's the truth. But if that's the truth, you'd have to be dumb. Because Sasha Banks doesn't belong in the tag team anyway. Her best use is as a solo performer. And Naomi, there was speculation she was going to go with the bloodline, so that would make perfect sense. And you're fighting to not do that? I mean, I don't know their side of the story, but it's irrelevant what your side of the story is. Because if Sasha Banks and Naomi went in there and they told them, tonight you are fighting two fans that we picked up from the old age home, and they both have walkers, so you're going to have to be super careful with them. And by the way, they're going over by submission. That's what you do. And then you quit and say, okay, well, obviously we're being treated like garbage, so we finished what you had for us tonight, and now we quit. That way we're not advertised to be anywhere else that somebody might have bought tickets for. We finished our obligation as far as live audience is concerned. We did the right thing, and now we're not competing anymore. That's fine. Walking out like spoiled brats who don't get their way is suicide for your career. And Sasha Banks has done it twice. So the bottom line of the situation is you have to deal with it. And the eyes of the world are watching. If they're back next week, smiling and happy, waving at the fans, saying, oh, we love everybody so much, your company's finished. because no one believes you anymore. And every single person is going to do that. Then what's to stop somebody else? What's to stop you wouldn't give Ali his release, right? What's to stop Ali from walking out? His contract. He has to fulfill his contract. But Sasha don't. She can just go home. So now a guy like Ali's going to say, fine, then you know what? I don't have to do anything either. And then the next thing you know, Elias or Ezekiel is going to say, hey, I never wanted to do this stupid Ezekiel thing, so I'm out of here. At what point do you have to understand that you can't make everyone happy all at once? Why don't you just go into the back and say, raise your hand, who wants to be the WWE champion? Oh, you all do? Gee, we didn't think we were going to get that kind of response. Okay, well, everybody can take turns being the champion for a week. Is that what you want? Somebody's got to run the ship. I have no understanding of how you think you're being disrespected when the belts are around your waist and one of you are about to compete in one of the bigger premium live events of the year against the champion. What it sounds like to me is that Sasha Banks did not want Naomi to have that spot. She probably wanted that spot. And I don't know what Naomi's problem is. She must have convinced Naomi that somehow this was disrespecting their tag team. I don't know. I had heard that Sasha Banks was pitching that they wanted to work a program at Hell in a Cell with Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. And Vince had rejected that, saying, no, Naomi's going to be going for the title. To which then they said, well, then we're not respected as a tag team. Our tag team's not even defending the belt. No, because they got bigger plans. You didn't win anything, Sasha. You were handed it. Nobody wins anything in professional wrestling. Calm down. I don't know, Todd. This is not good. And if I'm Vince McMahon, I don't even know if I give Naomi a break at this point. I guess what I would do is I would call Naomi in and tell her flat out, here's the deal. You don't want to be the number one contender at Hell in a Cell? Good, because you're not anymore. By the way, you can toss the joining the bloodline in the garbage can too. That's not happening now. You want to start dictating to us what you will and will not do in our storylines? Fine. Then we can take that all away from you, and you can go back to being the girl who gets pinned by Doudrop and the girl who gets pinned by Nikki A.S.H. every single week, building up for people who do want to be the number one contenders. As far as Sasha Banks, hit the road. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. I noticed last night with Corey Graves was not too happy with the situation. He's like, he called Sasha Banks and Naomi on professionals. And
yes,
in that spot last night. If you watch that Monday night, he mentioned them being unprofessional. Legitimately, he didn't sound too happy about that. What happened?
No, and here's another thing. What did this do? This forced the WWE's hand to say, "What do we do for the main event now? It's got to be something big, because we promised the fans a six-pack challenge. It's got to involve the women's division. So I guess we'll have to give them Asuka versus Becky Lynch." They wanted to save that. They were saving that. That would have been a big deal. But because of the unprofessional conduct displayed there, they had to throw it out last night into an eight-minute match. By the way, Asuka could have said, no, no, no. I don't want to do that. This is supposed to be my big match. Becky Lynch and I are supposed to be the big, big match. Maybe even for the title. I'm not wasting it on a Raw show because two unprofessional workers walked out. I won't do it. What's the difference between if Asuka said that or Sasha Banks takes your ball and goes home? But that's not what Asuka did. That's not what Becky Lynch did either. But I think, Mike, the statement that is the worst is that they've indicated that they felt unsafe in the ring with two of the workers. And the two workers mentioned has to be Doudrop and has to be Nikki A.S.H. I have never, not one time, heard anyone say they were uncomfortable working with Nikki A.S.H. And I have never heard anyone saying they were uncomfortable working with Doudrop. Yeah, but you were comfortable working with Nia Jax, right? It makes no sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense, and that's the thing. And frankly, for an 8-minute match, those two women put on a hell of a match for an 8-minute match.
They really did, and it, you know, that 8-minute match, can you imagine if they had told them, yeah, you're doing 20 at a premium live event? Boy, we would have seen something good, right? Oh, they may still do it, but it's not fresh anymore. It would have been better if they could have saved it, but they couldn't because they had to struggle to make up for the fact that two people took their ball and went home. Absolutely absurd. Absolutely 100% absurd. And anyone who's defending them, I don't know what to tell you. You go try it with your boss then. If you think that's the proper way, you go try it. Next time your boss tells you to do something, say, no, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. You have two options. Do it or quit. Because that's what the boss wants you to do. Do you think there aren't you know, legitimate karate champions and martial arts champions who don't get cast into roles in these action movies who say, I could kick the hell out of this star. What does the script say? I lose? No. I'm not getting beat up by Tom Cruise. I'm not getting beat up by Keanu Reeves. I could kick their ass 9 ways to Sunday. I'm going to the director and saying, I think I should win. That's not the way it works. I don't know. Anyway, let's get on to Raw. We start off with Bobby Lashley in the steel cage against Almos. The match ends when Almos throws him through the cage and Bobby Lashley realizes, hey, I'm out of the cage. And both of my feet have to hit the ground. So he just simply stands up and he wins. All this was is a treadmill to get to the next match. As is next week when Bobby Lashley is going to issue some kind of big challenge. I don't know what it is. They just want to keep this feud going. That's it. They just want to keep this feud going. Why? I don't know. Because nobody's really interested in it. I don't think it's helping almost. It's kind of almost, what's the right word for it? It's almost hurting them more than it's helping them. You took MVP away from Lashley, huge mistake. Almost is not looking like a world beater anymore. He's looking like he needs to be able to cheat to win. Big mistake. And Lashley's not getting the cheers he used to get because of the things that the way you've worked him and booked him. Big mistake. I don't know why you want this feud to continue. I absolutely have no idea why you want this feud to continue. But you're going to, you know, listen, for a steel cage match, they gave the fans at least what was advertised, Mike, but I wouldn't call it, you know, exactly a premium steel cage match.
No, and that's the thing. And I'd almost have rather have them, he kept Bobby Lashley and what's his name together, put somebody else with Almost. If you can find somebody, and you know, have MVP reconstitute. Now I know Shelton's hurt. Shelton Benjamin's hurt right now, but you can put Bobby Lashley and what's his name back together. You know, along with MVP.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It looks like they're trying to put you know, him back together with MVP anyway, the way they're playing this thing. So why not just go whole hog on this thing?
Yeah, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. It was an okay match, Todd. I mean, you know, again, they advertised a steel cage match. They gave him a steel cage match. It wasn't thrilling, but it was okay.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was an okay steel cage match between those two. That part when Omos throw Bobby Lashley through the steel cage, that reminds me of St. Valentine's Day Massacre with Big Show made his WWE debut when he threw Stone Cold Steve Austin through the cage and won the match as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Basically the same exact thing, yeah. So, I mean, they wanted almost to lose without looking like he lost, so I guess they accomplished that. I guess it's okay. We had a segment backstage with Kevin Owens and Alpha Academy that was kind of funny, where they said they had DNA results from hair, and it turned out there were barbecue sauce in the hair because I guess Otis had been eating ribs. I mean, it's a good thing for a comedy angle, but you've got a couple comedy angles now on Raw. You've got the 24/7 thing, and now you kind of got this Elias thing, Ezekiel and Elias thing being a comedy routine. Let's not have too much comedy. We then get this weird thing where Mustafa Ali is getting a shot at Theory's title, and I say to myself, based on what? He's lost every match. So a guy who's lost every match is now the number one contender? Doesn't make any sense. But the WWE swerved him, and Theory kind of said the same thing and said, yeah, you don't deserve a shot at this. So apparently Theory can now book matches. Makes no sense, but apparently Theory can book matches. So now Theory says, you're not going to be fighting me tonight because I get to call my own shots, I guess, and you're going to be fighting Veer Mahan because I guess I get to speak for him, which that doesn't make any sense. And on top of that, The Miz is a special guest referee. Okay. The problem here, folks, is this. Number one, that's illogical and doesn't make any sense. And number two, it makes Ali look like, I don't know. Ali does not look to me like he's going to go over as a face. He kind of looks like a whiny little crybaby guy who says, I should be given title shots when I don't deserve them, and I should be this and I should be that. Yeah, you stack the deck against him every week. But still, he's like, he's not coming across as a brave guy who says, shit, you know, I thought I was getting a shot and now this. He's coming across smarmy. It's not working. I'm not a big Ali fan. I don't think he's that good. Good in the ring, but that doesn't mean he's good at playing a character. I mean, I don't think he's playing this all that well. His heart's not in it anyway. Veer Mahan comes down. He gives Mahan his first actual match where he gets a little offense in on Mahan. But obviously, Veer Mahan ends up tapping him out and continues the beat on him. He's going to put him through a table. Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio come back, chase off Veer Mahan. At least now we've got some sort of a storyline for Veer Mahan. So I guess I'm okay with this one, Mike. It is what it is. And at least it gives them, again, it gives them a storyline to go by. So I guess I'm all right.
I'm all right with it too. And frankly, they better be careful with Veer Mahan. The way they're playing this guy is, you know, they're playing him as a big, strong guy. And they're playing him in such a way that people are getting that character, are going to really get that character. And the problem with that is the more the people get the character, the more they're going to want to cheer him.
Yeah, I don't know. As long as he's keeping on the hold too long and reapplying it, he's still a heel. I think fans will be okay with this. We've already seen him destroy Dominic Mysterio. Ray, we didn't see, so that could be interesting. But we've already seen him destroy Dominic without much trouble. I don't know. I don't know if it's that interesting, but at least it gives him something to do better than just squashing local talent for the next month and a half. So I guess I'm okay with it. Again, though, does any of this feel important? Not really. By the way, I thought it was funny. We have the countdown to Cody thing on the bottom of the screen? I mean, I don't know. I like Cody Rhodes. I really do. I've talked to Cody Rhodes on 3 or 4 occasions, and he's always been a very, very nice person and very willing to listen to fans and just an overall nice guy. But Countdown to Cody? Wow. I mean, I don't think it even helps him, because somebody who's okay with that, you're like, what kind of an ego do you have? And then number two, if he's not okay with it, then they're making him out like, well, I'm the biggest star in the Federation. Well, no, you're not. No, you're not. So I don't know. I don't know if I like the Countdown to Cody thing too much. We had Riddle against, I believe it was Jimmy Uso. No Randy Orton. He took some time off, which really doesn't make a ton of sense, but okay. And Riddle wins. That's fine, I guess. Then we had this really weird thing. And this is what, this bothered me. AJ Styles and Finn Balor are backstage trying to convince Liv Morgan to join their group. And she says, well, I'll think it over. And I said, okay, well, we know what's going to happen then. At some point, we're going to have AJ and Finn out there, and the Judgment Day is going to come out, and they're not going to be able to strike Rhea Ripley, and she's going to run in and make the save and chase off Rhea, and it'll be a dramatic moment where you're like, yeah, well, you know, you needed me, I was there. No! Then she walks out first. She walks out first and introduces them, basically. I don't know. Just a missed chance, as far as I'm concerned. Totally missed chance. I guess I'm glad she's with the group, although I don't know what she has to do with the quasi Bullet Club thing, but I guess if you need a female, you need a female, right? They had the match against Los Lotharios. Still a big Angel Garza fan. I think Garza's fantastic. At least they gave him a lot of offense. This was probably the best match of the night, technically. And it made Finn and AJ look pretty good. There is some rumors that Finn might be turning. I don't know what that would mean, because then AJ would have to go find yet somebody else. I don't know who that somebody else would be. But at least it was a decent match, probably one of the better ones of the night, if not the best one of the night. Caller, what's your opinion on it?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Yeah. Now, I mean, my opinion, I think, is, and I can hear kind of the tone of your voice too, right? I mean, we've kind of been in this phase here for a while where all the most interesting things of the WWE tend to happen behind the scenes now, right? Whether it be cuts or profit margins or Sasha walking out, and it's just the on-screen product fails to bring any of the drama that the behind-the-scenes product tends to actually bring. And so, I don't know. You know what was interesting about this show, and what I found actually to be the most fascinating outside of the Sasha Banks part, was this was the first WWE show in a while that actually felt like the crowd was engaged, and it really, like, took me aback. I don't know if it took you aback, but it made me realize I've probably been watching this show for, like, 3 years since the last, like, Raws. I'm not talking about pay-per-views, but, like, a Raw, since the crowd was, like, truly engaged. I mean, it was, like, stunning to me when the show started and they actually, like, cheered Bobby Lashley like they cared about this cage match. It just took me aback, and it just made me kind of realize where the show is at this point, that fans simply cheering or booing or reacting in any way, shape, or form actually...
Yeah, and you know what? Good for them, because they didn't get a great show. You know, so if the fans sit on their hands and said, F this stuff, you know, this is rehashed garbage and I paid good money to be here, it would almost be understandable. So, yeah, good for the crowd. I mean, they said, what the hell? We're here. We may as well be engaged. That's always been my philosophy anyway. I can get on this show and criticize them left, right, and upside down. If I go to the show, I'm going to have a good time. I paid to have a good time. I'm going to have a good time. I'm not going to sit on my hands and say, I don't know, this is stupid. I'm not doing it. I'll come back the next day and tell you it was stupid, but I'm going to have a good time while I'm there. Otherwise, I'm just hurting myself. But you're right. The fans hadn't been doing that lately, because almost things have been forced down people's throats. It's like, you are going to cheer for this person. You're not going to cheer for that person. The WWE's starting to lighten up a little bit on that. But speaking of, Lacey Evans comes out, and once again, my head is going to explode, because – we know she's a heel. They've already said she's going to be a heel. And I'm waiting for the punchline on this, I want to honor all the brave servicemen and women out here in the audience. I'm saying, okay, get to the punchline. We're going to get to that moment where everybody says, what did she just say? It never happened. It never happened. I don't know what kind of heel she's supposed to be. I hope you're not trying to make her a heel based upon the fact that she's supposed to be horribly uncool and terribly old-fashioned because she likes the military and honors our military and is a mother and has family values and all this kind of stuff. I hope you're not going in that direction because it's going to backfire huge. So I hope that's not where you're going with this. You kind of tried that with Bob Backlund years ago, but you made him a deranged psychopath who was saying you have to recite the presidents of the United States in order before I'll even talk to you, and you know, education and the kids are going crazy. And that was different because you could tell he was a psychopath. Lacey Evans is coming across sincere. And if the idea now is anybody who supports our military and is a mom and is old fashioned and says, I want to raise my children the right way, oh, you must be, you know, horribly unhip and uncool, therefore you're the bad guy. If you're going to try that, you're going to fail. You're going to fail miserably. So I'm waiting for the bomb to drop on why Lacey Evans is a heel, Mike. I don't see it.
I don't see it either, and that's the thing. I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about how they've kind of messed up with Lacey Evans, and we'll probably talk about it again at some point. But this is and look at what she was doing when she was coming out, when she came out to the ring. If she's supposed to be a heel, then you got to get in her ear and tell her not to go shake hands with the fans.
Well, they must have told her it was okay to do that. But here's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for her to be like, I want to honor all our brave servicemen and women who sacrificed their time. However, I did this, that, and the other thing. And I want to say to all the mothers out there who's struggling raising their kids that, you know, you can do it. However, I was waiting. I kept waiting for that. I kept waiting for her to say, however, I sacrificed more. However, I'm a better mother. However, I'm more virtuous. I was waiting for that. They never did it. So this is some kind of weird, you know, slow burn caller, I guess, to making her a heel, but I don't see it.
The Lacey Evans, this thing just confounds me. Like, I don't even, I'm sitting here, the emotion that it has, that there's all these vignettes have just extracted from me. It just makes me feel weird. Like, I don't know how to react. Like, she's telling these devastating stories that appear to be true, but they're also being presented in a way that is, like, so clearly and honestly poorly trying to evoke, like, an emotion of sympathy from you, but not in, like, a babyface way. Not in, like, a, this person's going to come back and I want to see them win the title. Just in, like, a, this is a little cringeworthy and makes me feel weird. And then she comes out, and it's, like, even more confusing. I don't know what they're doing. All I know is it's really strange. I don't know what they're aiming for.
It's really strange. It's the equivalent of a stranger sitting next to you on a bus telling you I was raped in prison. You know, You know, thank you. I don't need to know that, but okay. I'm not sure I'm supposed to feel about that, but yeah, this is exactly what I was saying. It's one thing I had always said, if you wanted to make Lacey Evans a face and you wanted to base it upon her hard life, then you get Pat McAfee to interview her on the show. And even though it's, you know, a storyline, although maybe her life was like that, you make it look like she sort of broke down on the show and told the truth. And everybody says, did you hear what, you know, the Pat McAfee show, what she said? And then she doesn't mention it on Raw or SmackDown. She just says, you know, it's sort of embarrassing that the truth came out on that show. I don't want to talk about it. And then people might say, well, okay, that's very inspirational. But to have her literally behind the, you know, the scene saying, and then when I was 9, it's like, God almighty, already. What are we, the therapist? Well, you know, what are we supposed to be? A psychiatrist? You're spilling your heart out on Raw Y and SmackDown Y. So then we do feel uncomfortable. And we're like, well, what are we supposed to do? I don't get it. Are we supposed to feel sorry for you? Are we supposed to root for you? Are we supposed to say you're inspirational? Or I don't know. And then they did the weird thing where they said, Lacey Evans has insisted that you give her the proper respect by applauding when she comes out. Remember that one? And I said, okay, well, now here comes the heel thing. And then they just back it right up with her saying, God bless the mothers out there in the military. And I said, this is not going to work. I'm telling you, I don't care where it's going. It's not going to work. Because just like the caller said, we're just sitting here saying, well, where is my emotion supposed to be exactly? Am I supposed to be fed up with her because she's a crybaby? Am I supposed to be sympathetic with her because she's had a hard life? Am I supposed to find inspiration in the fact that she served in the military? I don't know what the hell she's supposed to be. So good luck with that. Good luck with that. It's not going to work. I'm telling you right now, with one more ridiculous WWE storyline, it's simply not going to work. Alexa Bliss beats Sonya Deville. Why do I care? Why do I care? Sonya Deville looks like she's about as much interested in wrestling as Naomi and Sasha. I like Alexa Bliss. This direction, I don't know. When the writers said they had nothing for her, they weren't kidding. They weren't kidding. Well, we'll just put her against Sonya Deville every week and have Sonya get her ass kicked. Okay, well, that's a great direction. Glad somebody has something for her. Hey, Ezekiel and Chad Gable, the problem with this is this. I sort of like the Ezekiel angle in a way. Kevin Owens sells it really well because he's so obsessed. His commentary was funny, where he was correcting everybody who says the word Ezekiel, even the teleprompter thing on the bottom. That was funny. And Chad Gable and Otis are doing a good job of making it funny. I don't know if anybody really cares about Ezekiel. That's the problem, as far as I can see. Mike, I don't think anybody really cares about Ezekiel.
Yeah, I think it's probably time that they switch him back. Now, is it going to be a slow burn? I don't know, but I think it's time that they have him grow out his beard and switch him back to being. And I know what they're trying to do with him. They're trying to turn him into a new macho man. If you look at him, if you look at how he's dressed, if you look at the tape and the strips around his biceps and stuff, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to turn him into Macho Man, but I don't think it's going to work.
Well, the real problem with Ezekiel is he has a zero personality. He's just some guy who insists he's not Elias. His whole personality consists of, I'm not Elias. Okay, at least Elias had a personality. And if they're going to flip him back to Elias, I'd love to know how they're going to do it, because it's going to take a long time to grow that beard back. Anyway, we end it with the match that shouldn't have taken place, Asuka versus Becky Lynch. I'm going to give them full credit, but they only had 7 or 8 minutes. They did a fantastic job. I loved the ending. The ending I did not expect. I was totally thrown off by it. It almost never happens to me. I've been watching wrestling so long, I can pretty much call these endings. And when the distraction happened with the referee and Becky Lynch grabbed Asuka's umbrella, I said, Becky Lynch is going to Hell in a Cell, and we're going to have this match again. I did not see the green mist coming. And when it happened, I was like, oh, shit, that's pretty cool. The roll-up covering her face so the referee couldn't see the green stuff on her. Absolutely loved it. I wish they'd had longer. I wish we'd have seen this in a longer, same ending, but I wish they'd had 20 minutes. And it would have been special. So we did have a couple of good things. Oh, we should talk a little bit, I guess, about the Judgment Day making their little speech. I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not all that invested in them. I know a lot of people are like, this is great. I don't know if it's great. I really don't. Rhea Ripley's on the mic. Damian Priest is a little bit uninteresting. Edge is fine. But here's what we did find out. We should be patting ourselves on the back here on this show. Edge himself has now said, I pushed to have Harlan join this faction. What did we say? We said Harlan would be the perfect person to join that faction. Edge himself pushed to have Harlan join that faction, and it was refused. We're going to find out something more about Harlan being released, because I'm telling you right now, he was right in the middle of the NXT storylines. Edge is pitching for him to come over and join his crew, and suddenly he's gone. And they say, well, he wasn't progressing in the ring. Almost is. That doesn't make any sense. I don't believe that for 1 minute. Something happened. I don't know what happened. They're probably keeping it quiet. Something happened that Harlan fell totally out of favor with the WWE, because there's no way they released him because he wasn't progressing. If he wasn't progressing, do you honestly think Edge is going to go to bat for him and say, I want him in my faction? That doesn't pass the laugh test, Mike. So there's more to that story that we may never know.
Right. And look, you're right. There's more to that story than you will know. And look, if you mentioned earlier about Finn turning heel and who else would be put in that group with AJ, well, there is one other person, and you know who I'm going to say, right? Nakamura. But again,
Nakamura.
One other thing, Marcus, you know what? We keep saying it over and over and over again with this guy, but Tozawa stole the show again.
I know. And there is more to this story. There's no question. Now, all of a sudden, R-Truth is sort of aligning with Carmella again against Dana Brooke. Something's up. There's actually this storyline is actually progressing better than some real storylines, and this is for the stupid 24/7 title, which is amazing. There is some progression here. I don't know if I trust R-Truth. Something's wrong. He's aligning with Carmella, who's obviously a heel. That he's gotten the two people married and then divorced based on bullshit, really. So he's obviously got some plan. And you're right, Tozawa was fantastic, popping out of the trash can, getting served the papers, and his facial expressions are always 100%. I like Tozawa a lot. I think Tozawa's a really massively underrated. But at least he's not underused. They're using him now. Not so much in the ring, but at least he's getting some airtime, and maybe that'll lead to something better for him. Let's hope. Anyway, you almost got to give the WWE a little bit of a pass on this show, because they had a six-pack challenge planned and could not do it. So the main event had to be changed last minute. By the way, there are people saying, well, how do you know they weren't uncomfortable with Asuka? She just came back. Maybe that's the deal. It was Asuka they were uncomfortable with. Well, then how come Becky Lynch isn't uncomfortable with her? Becky Lynch went out and worked a match by herself with her. So that doesn't pass the laugh test. It was definitely Nikki A.S.H., and it was definitely Doudrop they were talking about. And if you're Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop, you got to be plenty pissed. Because basically, you've just been told, I don't really want to work with you. I don't think you're that safe. Wow. So, I don't know. You give the WWE a tiny bit of a pass because their main event had to be altered at the last minute. And I mean the last minute, because they're talking about just a little while before the show went on the air, walking into the office and doing that. So, wow. However, did anything important happen? I mean, could you have missed this show and say, well, I'm right the same spot I was before at the end of Raw last week? Yeah, you didn't miss anything. The only thing you might argue that you missed is the return of Rey Mysterio and Dominic. That's not that important. What else did you miss? That's the problem. A lot of these shows are missable. I could guarantee you the way Raw's been running, you could miss an episode and then turn into next week and say, oh, well, it's pretty much right where it left off. That's how it feels. Things aren't progressing that well. And the caller before was absolutely right. If they turned this around and said, all right, well, we're going to do a reality TV show based on running this federation, it would be more interesting than actually Monday Night Raw. It would actually be something that people would say, well, I got to tune in to see that. You don't really have to tune in to see Raw. Tuning in to see Raw is like one of these things where, like, I don't have to have that second cupcake, but I guess I will. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, I can't wait to see it. It's like, oh, well, I like wrestling. We'll see what's going on. There's never any like, oh, I can't wait. And that's bad. Because occasionally AEW does have that, where fans of AEW are like, oh, I can't wait to see that. I don't know the last time the WWE had something like that. So I'm going to give them a little bit of a pass because their main event was sabotaged. But the best I can give this is a C-. I just don't think anything progressed all that well. I don't think the matches were very important. Everything kind of just felt like it was on a treadmill to get to next week, and I wasn't overly impressed with it. Todd, what's your rating?
I give it a C-, too, and I like you said, I will give it a pass as well because the main event match.
Yeah, and that got totally sabotaged, which is a shame. By the way, we'll update on Sasha Banks and Naomi if we hear anything. Mike, what's your rating this week?
I got to give it a C- as well. And a couple of other things that came out. One, when what's her name did her backstage segment, Liv Morgan, she was kind of doing a frenetic segment. And it kind of reminded me of when she was doing that Harley Quinn gimmick. And two, when Dana Brooke was talking to Carmella, what did she mention? She mentioned the no, when you were running around with a guy with no chin.
Yeah, James Ellsworth, yeah. She didn't mention him by name, but she did mention the chinless wonder or whatever the hell, and said this was the last time you were relevant, which is probably the best line on the whole entire show, actually. Look, I don't know what to tell you. Raw's kind of stagnant. The WWE's feeling kind of stagnant. And when you have people walking out, there's a problem. I'm not saying they were right to walk out. As a matter of fact, they were dead wrong. I don't care what anybody says. You finish your performance that people paid to see, and then you walk out. You're dead wrong. But when you have people walking out, something's not right. And you're going to have to right the ship eventually, because if you don't, it's going to sink. And believe me, the water's rising. I've been a lifelong WWE fan, and I'm watching this saying, come on. Can somebody get this, ship righted a little bit? It just seems, I don't know. It almost seems pointless. It seems like it's heading for the falls, and nobody's got a barrel. We'll update you on Sasha and Naomi. If I was to bet my life, I would say they won't release either one of them because of who they are. Naomi's connected, and Sasha's a big star to them, and they don't want her to run off somewhere else, and she knows that. Now, I could hold it to her contract. She couldn't run off immediately, unless they fire her. I think if they fire her, she can, right? So they'll most likely just say, okay, well, we'll just do nothing with you and make you sit in the back. They could do that. Either way, folks, this is just a cog in the wheel of how dysfunctional the WWE's become. And whether you side with Sasha and Naomi or you side with the WWE, it doesn't matter, because quite obviously things are on a rocky grounds here, to say the least, Mike, and something's got to change, or we're going to see a total collapse of this federation.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, we've talked about it before, about AEW and Tony Khan, and that all Tony Khan has to do is shut his mouth. You don't want it when your opponent is self-destructing. The only thing you want to do is hand him an envelope, right?
Yeah, that's the only exactly. Thing
you don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah, don't wake the sleeping dog, Mike, because the WWE's bounced back before. But listen, I see no signs of this. I'm sorry, I don't. Because when I hear some officials saying, oh, no, everything's great, we're running fine, everything's fantastic. Well, if you don't know the problem, you don't see the problem, you can't fix the problem. Anyway, folks,
thanks for listening. We'll be back to you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.